Turning your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 22, 2 Samuel chapter 22, and I realize we're in an Old Testament text here, and so there are some things that have happened since the cross of Calvary that affect a little of what you're reading here. 2 Samuel chapter 22, notice beginning with verse 21, our text is going to be in verse 24. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 21, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity." That's our text, that last little piece of verse 24. "Have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight." Now what's changed, obviously, in the New Testament is we're not going to stand before God in our righteousness. We stand before God in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's been a major change there, and I think we ought to make note of that change. However, there is a principle in this verse that applies to us very well in the New Testament. In that last part of verse 24, "I have kept myself from mine iniquity." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then see what God has for us in the text. Father, we ask you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please fill us with your Holy Spirit for the simple reason of being able to minister your words to your saints, and do so in a way that glorifies you and does not bring attention to man in any capacity. Father, we humble ourselves before you, knowing that if you're going to accomplish anything here tonight worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ and worthy of your words, then you'll have to do it. So we ask you, Lord, to simply do that. Magnify your words above all your name. Exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll bring glory to yourself and edify these dear saints. While we're praying tonight, Father, we'll also pray for Willie Odell at Hunters Creek Bible Baptist in Holland, New York. I ask you to continue to bless that church. And his family, Father, I pray for his wife and his children, good health. One spirit, one mind, one heart with the church and with each other. Father, we pray that they'll be blessed with sowing the seed of the Word of God and seeing souls saved and an opportunity to disciple them and grow them up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray you'll bless them and the work they're doing in their ministry tonight, and bless us here with your presence that we may understand your words and understand how they apply to our lives. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the principle that we see in 2 Samuel chapter 22 at the end of verse 24 is simply, he says, "I have kept myself from mine iniquity." The principle is this: men, and I'm not talking about gender specific, I'm talking about human beings, men have a personal responsibility for their sin. Men have a personal responsibility for their sin. He said, "I have kept myself from mine iniquity." So, what is he saying when he says that, that can be a help to us both personally and a help to us in our understanding of our society today? Well, let's talk about it personally first. And the first thing is this: for David to say, "I have kept myself from mine iniquity," then David had to know, listen, David had to know equity. Equity. You see, we use the word iniquity and we immediately think sin. Or we use the word transgression and we immediately think sin. But iniquity is a word, while it does deal with sin, it deals with sin in a way that you can understand something about it. Iniquity is inequity. Those are the same thing. Iniquity, inequity, it's the same thing. In other words, it's uneven. It's unjust. It's unequal is what iniquity is. In other words, listen, before you can have iniquity, you have to have equity. You don't have iniquity until you have equity. In other words, as you say, well, then what's equity? Well, equity is justice. Equity is a free and a reasonable conformity to accepted standards. All right. God laid down a book that is filled with accepted standards. And he says, these things are acceptable to me, and these things are not acceptable to me. He laid down the standards for us in the Bible. So the first thing that any person should do in dealing with his sin, or what we should do in dealing with our sin, is that we've got to know, first of all, what equity is. Because it's not that I feel bad. You know, in other words, there are some people who judge what they do. They say, well, that didn't make me feel bad, so it must be okay. Or they say today, if it's okay, if it makes you feel good, do it. And so that has no basis in a standard of God. That just has to do with everybody's feeling. You may feel one way about it. Another guy may feel completely differently about what he does. So the first thing to consider in dealing with your sin is that you must know what equity is. And remember, as in law, so in the Bible, ignorance is no excuse. Well, I didn't know that. Well, they're still going to give you the ticket. And God's still going to give you the judgment. Now, you know what? People don't like the Bible when it points out equity, because when it points out equity, it establishes an absolute standard of righteousness. That's where people have a hard time. I mean, if you get stopped by the police, you want to argue on some of your points. And I mean, if the guy's there and it's a 35 mile an hour speed limit and you went 45, he doesn't care about excuses, all that. My job is to let you know equity is 35 and inequity is 45. You get a ticket. Now, if you can go plead something with the judge, help yourself. But I'm telling you, I've got an absolute standard, and you were not equal to the standard. People don't like that about the Bible, and that's the nature of men. They don't want to be told what to do, and they don't want to be limited to this is right and everything else is wrong. And that's the way the Bible does it. So, simply, as soon as you are out of line with God's accepted standards of righteousness, you are in iniquity. So David, in order to be able to talk about mine iniquity, had to first of all know what equity was, and he knew it. You see, it's kind of like this. Let's say these are the scales of justice. And over here, we have a standard that says, tell the truth. All right, then you say something and you put it in on this side of the scale, and if it's the truth, you know what? They're equal. And so you have it tip the scales of justice. But if what you said is not the truth, you've tipped the scales of justice, and now you have iniquity. You know, the funny thing is, people will say, well, they say it this way, don't lie. All right, and so they say something over here, and they say, well, that really wasn't a lie, it just wasn't all the truth. Then what they're trying to do is, they're trying to be like the guy in the meat market that wants to sell you 14 ounces of meat and call it a pound because he puts his finger on the scale. They're trying to put their finger on the scale and bring it back into line when it's not that way. So do it another way and say, okay, if it's truth, then it's equity. So the person says what they say, and it's not completely truth. Tip the scales. You put the standard on one side, you put what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're seeing, what you're thinking, where you're going, whatever it is, you put that on the other side. And if the scale tips, you have iniquity. But you got to know what equity is in order to find out that it tipped. Okay? And David knew equity. He knew that. David also, secondly, knew iniquity. He said, I have kept myself from mine iniquity. He knew what his problem was. Because he talked about mine iniquity. Now the trouble with people today, whether they're saved or they're lost, but it doesn't make any difference. The trouble with people today is they either don't see their iniquity or they see it but they don't admit it. So this is an iniquity. Let me give you a couple of examples. Turn to 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Keep your finger in 1 John, keep your finger in 2 Samuel, and we'll go somewhere else too. All right, 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 8. Watch it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know what that is? That's a guy, gets the scales, and he says, I don't have sin in me. There's a Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 that goes before the Lord. He's compared with the publican who said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he goes in there and he says, I'm not an extortioner. I tithe. I fast twice in the week. I'm not like this publican. And so what he says is, I don't have any sin, and therefore I'm justified. And you know what the Lord says? You're deceived. And the truth is not in you. That's one way that people look today. They don't see that what they're doing is iniquity. Or they don't see iniquity in themselves. The other thing that they do, keep your finger open where you are in 1 John chapter 1, is they know what they're doing, but they don't admit that what they're doing is iniquity. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. In other words, they say, what I'm doing is not a sin. I know that you don't agree with what I'm doing, but that doesn't make any big difference to me because what I'm doing is not a sin. It's okay. That's like Saul. Remember in the Old Testament? Remember when Saul was given a commandment to kill Agag? And kill all the sheep and all the oxen and all that stuff. So Samuel shows up after giving Saul that command. And when Saul sees him, here's what he says. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag the king of Amalek and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. In other words, I hadn't sinned. And he had. Samuel said, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? He said, I hadn't done anything wrong. I was right. Now those are the two attitudes that people have today. You may not like what I'm doing, but what I'm doing is not a sin. It's not iniquity. Or they don't even see it. They just see their own righteousness at, like the Pharisee. You know the truth of the matter? The truth of the matter is, obviously, we're all sinners. But even more so, every sin you read in that Bible, everyone in this room is capable of committing. You know, that people say, I would never do such and such. Deal is, you've never been in a situation where such and such was available to you. But if it were, under the right circumstances, you might do it. Happens all the time. We need to know that what we are doing is wrong when it's wrong, and we need to call it what God calls it when we're wrong. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 22 and notice something. David, in 2 Samuel 22, verse 23, knew God's judgments. Look at this. 2 Samuel 22, 23. All his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. In other words, David could line that thing up. He said, I know what to put in this side of the scale whenever I'm getting ready to do something over here. And if it doesn't match up, I'm not doing it. So he knew equity, and then he knew iniquity. And he knew what to call it whenever he got involved in it, or what not to call it if he didn't get involved in it. Now notice, here's the third thing, and this is really important. All of these are, but this is really important. David restrained himself. Verse 24, I was also upright before him, watch it, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. In other words, David said, I'm taking responsibility for my actions. I'm taking responsibility for my thoughts. I'm taking responsibility for what I do. And he kept himself from it. Let me show you a few examples of people like that. Turn to Job. Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31. Now, you know, the funny thing is, you're sitting here probably listening to this going, well, wait a minute, then how do you account for the deal with Bathsheba? And how can David be saying that now? He knew what he did was wrong then. As soon as Nathan put his finger right on his nose, he said, I have sinned. Have you ever read Psalm 51? He came straight to God and he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And you know what God extended him? Mercy. And when he did that, God tipped the scales by his mercy. And David said, okay, then we're going to get up and keep going. And he could look back on that and say, you know what? Now I am in righteousness. All right, Job chapter 31, look at verse 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. This is Job. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Some guy says, well, you know me, I got trouble with my eyes. Yeah, you know what Job said? I got trouble with mine eyes. I see equity, and I see that to seek pleasure with my eyes is iniquity, so I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? That I got to get control of that. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 22. 1 Peter chapter, what did I say? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. This is about Jesus Christ, verse 21. Even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Watch it. Who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. You know what he said? Here's the standard. And if I can put it on this side and be equal, I'll do it. If it tips the scale, I won't do it. He did no sin. What'd he do? He took responsibility for the actions in his life. He said, that I'm not going to do. Look in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And look at verse 12. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul said this, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves. Who's doing the yielding? Is God whipping him into subjection there? Or is he voluntarily yielding himself to God? He's the one responsible. He says, yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Neither yield ye, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. All right, then, who's responsible for restraining you from sin? You are. Paul was, Jesus was, Job was, David was, and you and I are. You see, we're the ones responsible for sin in our lives, even though we have to look to Jesus Christ to give us the strength by yielding to deal with that sin. Truth is, we can't blame the devil. I mean, you will, because that was what your forefathers did. Your foremother did. She said, no, no, no. She said, you don't understand. The devil did that. You can't blame others. That's your forefather and that's your foremother there too. Oh no, said Lord, did I eat that? Oh, that woman. I know every time I tell this, I always stress that thou gavest me. I'm spreading the blame anywhere anybody's willing to pick it up and take it. She gave it to me. And I did eat. All that God was interested in those last three words, I did eat. Yeah, you're responsible. We are the ones, listen, who will give account, and we are the ones that must judge ourselves. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 31. This is in the context of the Lord's Supper. But look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So what we have to do in our own lives then is we have to consciously be aware of the standards of equity and judge our lives based on that standard and say, whoop, there's my iniquity. And of course, God gives us a remedy in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to take care of that with His forgiveness. But there's my iniquity. And then what do? I say, you know what? That is not right. And then I've got to do what David did and keep myself from mine iniquity. Now listen, if everybody in here is capable of committing every sin that's in this Bible, some of us have a weakness for some sin, whereas others of us have a weakness for a different sin. So that's why David made it personal. I kept myself from mine iniquity. He may not have had any trouble with chocolate, but he had trouble with women. Okay, you know, all right. He'd sit there and go, well, I don't eat chocolate like those other guys over there doing. That's what the Pharisee did. I ain't having any trouble with 40,000 horses from Egypt, which his son did. Well, you can sit here and list all the things in the Bible that you're not doing and pat yourself on the back that you don't do all that stuff. God's not interested in that. In this context, he's interested in the thing you are having trouble with. Say, now, don't talk to me about your chocolate. Talk to me about this problem you're having here. And he says, I have kept myself from my iniquity. So you look at that deal and say, okay, there's equity. This is iniquity. And now I got to do something about this. Because every time I do it, it keeps tipping the scale. Now what happens to a lot of us, and Aunt Randy and I had a conversation about this earlier about confessing sin. A lot of people say, well, I know I tipped the scale, so each night I go to bed and just say, Lord, I'm sorry, I tipped it again. You know me, Lord, that's just my trouble. You know, I just, bless God, you know, it's just the way it is. So praise the Lord for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in confession. Said, dear Lord, forgive me, I did it again. You know, I stole another $5 out of my mother's purse. There's another $5. I just have a real problem with that, Lord. You know me. You know. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. I know I did it again, yet I'm just having trouble with this. And the Lord says, stop it! Don't let sin have dominion over you. Refrain yourself from your sin. Judge it. Say, you know what? That's wrong. I got to cut that out. That's what David did. And he didn't have the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and all these wonderful things that we have on this side of Calvary and the righteousness of Jesus Christ in him, he had to profess his own righteousness. We got a lot of advantage there. So keep yourself from your iniquity. Take responsibility for it. It's yours. It's your iniquity. It's not mine. I got my own problems. I used to love that when Brother Dickman heard somebody criticizing another saint. He said, I don't know about all that, but I know this. I got a full-time job just taking care of this old Dickman boy right here. There's a lot of truth in that. Now let me say this as we conclude. Folks today that excuse their sin by saying, I was born this way. That's how we've gotten into same-sex marriage and all this stuff going on with dope and alcohol and all that stuff. People that say, excuse their sin by saying, I was born that way. Here's what they've done and here's what they're going to continue to do. First thing they got to do is get rid of equity. There it is right there. 1964, that Bible went out of public school. So you lost the absolute standard of righteousness. And here you are 50 years later and you are so topsy-turvy. We are so topsy-turvy in this country. And the reason is there's nothing on the other side of the scale. Second thing they'll do is they won't admit that this is iniquity. If a homosexual says, this is sin, that's what the Bible says. It is abomination to God. All right, so he says, this is sin. Or she says, this is sin. They wouldn't admit that. They that's my sexual orientation, my gender identity. Anything but call it what God calls it. It's my abomination. David said, it's mine iniquity. And the third thing they'll do is they will refuse to restrain themselves. And what David said is, you can restrain yourself. If God says that thing is wrong, somebody said, well, I was born that way, therefore I have to express it this way. No, he looked at that thing and said, I was born that way. Mine iniquity, that's what David called it. And he said, you know what I did? I refrained myself from that. And that's what God expects people to do. So, I conclude the message by saying this. Don't be fooled by their pernicious ways. Because they, I'm talking about people who aren't saved and will not look at equity, have judged that what they do is okay. It is not all right for us to judge that what we do is okay. We have a standard of righteousness. We know what our iniquity is. It's our responsibility to refrain ourselves from it, whether the rest of the world does or not. The accountability is between us and God, regardless of how everybody else in the room does it. Doesn't make any difference. Just between you and God. Amen. Father, thank you today for a look into David's life. He certainly understood these matters very well after some of the things we saw that took place in his life. But we also appreciate very much how at the end of his life he was, by your mercy, able to say these things truly with the right conscience. We have the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and should be able to say the same things, Father, but may we not excuse ourselves for any of what we've been told by the rudiments of the world or anything that we refuse to see by reading the Bible. We pray, Father, you'll keep us very close to you. And those scales very active in our lives that we may judge ourselves, that we be not judged. And we ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.